Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a video and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Today, it is my privilege to welcome a very, very accomplished young entrepreneur from Dubai, Amit Gupta, to our show. Amit, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh.
Amit is the promoter of AgriFields DMCC in Dubai. And he's also the promoter of Farm Fields Private Limited, which is, from the name, an Indian company. So Amit, tell me, what would you say are three key milestones in your life or your career?
One of the most important milestones, accomplishments, I'd say, has been bringing to life a Philippines fertilizer plant.
Okay.
We took over a rehabilitation of a project which was destroyed in typhoon in 2013. Mm-hmm. And in 2016, we signed up with the promoters to rehabilitate the plant. Mm-hmm. It took us 2 years to rehabilitate, a couple of more years to get the clearances. And March 2020, we brought it online. So that was a very big accomplishment for me.
Okay.
Very few projects in the world in the fertilizer stream have been rehabilitated successfully. Mm-hmm. The second, I would say, was launching my own brand. Okay. In the Indian fertilizer scene. Mm-hmm. Under Farm Fields, we've launched a brand called Wafadar.
Okay, Wafadar. Huh?
Wafadar.
Very nice. Okay.
That's to associate with the farmer. So we would like to present it that, look, we are loyal to you.
Yeah.
Not just here to sell our products, but we go the whole way.
Very interesting. Okay.
So it takes a while to register and launch a brand. So that was quite an important achievement, I'd say, for me.
Yeah.
And the third is a bit personal. It was a skydiving that I did.
Wow.
It helped me let go of some unknown fears, mm-hmm. a feeling of liberation. And I think it taught me to take calculative risks, which helps me in life and become a little more adventurous.
Fantastic. Amazing three milestones. So let's talk about, your two companies, AgriFields and Farm Fields. Tell me about these ventures and we'll talk about Philippines as well.
Sure. So, as you would know, Ashutosh, our soil requires three primary nutrients,
correct.
N, P and K. N for nitrogen, P for phosphates, K for potash. Mm-hmm. So, AgriFields is in the phosphatic side of the business.
Okay.
It's a bulk fertilizer company. Mm-hmm. We have ownership in phosphate mines in Senegal.
Correct.
We have a downstream operating plant in Philippines, which manufactures phosphoric acid, mm-hmm. and also a downstream granulation plant, which manufactures DAP as an end fertilizer.
Right.
The plant has a nameplate capacity of 1 million tons fertilizer mm-hmm. production. Mm-hmm. That's AgriFields. Farm Fields, on the other hand, is a niche player in India. We are primarily into water-soluble fertilizers, which is distributed via drip irrigation, which mm-hmm. is gaining a lot of prominence in India now.
Right.
And at the same time, we are also promoting organic fertilizers.
Okay.
We were one of the earliest people who brought organics to India, but it takes time.
Okay. And tell me, this focus on fertilizers, is it something that was conceived of by you or is it a family business?
No, I have to give the credit to my late father.
Okay.
Conceived the fertilizer business, and it was his vision that he always told us that tomorrow the phosphatic fertilizers, that was his niche, will gain prominence. Because when we were growing up, we used to read in the press about the Indian soils getting depleted or ruined due to excessive urea usage. Mm. That's acidic. So phosphate is the reverse of that. So you need phosphates to repair the damage.
Okay. And there are many fertilizer players in India. Many of them. You are actually not even manufacturing in India, but you're building a plant here. Or you're building a market here with your own brand.
Yeah.
What is your competitive advantage?
Agility.
Okay.
Agility in pricing due to a bulk volume business that we have. Mm-hmm. Agility in providing changes with the dynamic situations around us, bringing in the best practices from across the globe to our country.
Okay.
And we don't fear leading change.
Hmm.
10 years ago, we brought liquid fertilizers to India. Mm-hmm. India was not prepared for it.
Mm-hmm.
Nevertheless, we tried it for 2.5 years and we shelved it. And okay. Today, liquid fertilizers are starting in India.
Amazing. Amazing. And, you know, you just mentioned a little while ago that you own mines in Senegal and a fertilizer, you know, phosphoric acid plant in Philippines. When you look at working conditions in Senegal and Philippines, and they're very different countries, what has been your experience in doing business in these countries?
It's been a good experience for me in both the countries.
Yeah.
I can tell you from experience, Senegal, contrary to the popular belief, is a safe country.
Okay.
We have a very good infrastructure in terms of port.
Mm-hmm.
Country is blessed with minerals. The government is supportive. One thing which stands out, which we didn't expect to come in Senegal, when we got the mining prospection rights,
mm-hmm.
you have to do certain things to convert it into a mining license.
Mm-hmm.
And when we did the steps right and we got the license, the government invited CNN to come and interview us.
Wow.
That as a foreign investor, they've come into our country and how is their experience? So.
Mm-hmm.
It was spoken and I felt it was very positive support from the authorities
mm-hmm.
to help us move.
Okay.
Otherwise, the people are friendly. Mm-hmm. There needs to be a culture of trust established.
Okay. And experience in Philippines?
Philippines is Asia. So it's okay. Much more easier.
Right.
Closer to our culture. Okay. But extremely hardworking and English-speaking country.
Hmm. Very interesting. Very interesting.
And I believe Philippines is a politically determined country which is determined to move forward.
Correct. In fact, I've been to Philippines many times. I've never been to Senegal. So someday I must come and visit Senegal.
Maybe you have
come and visit you in Senegal.
Absolutely.
But, you know, let's now talk about Wafadar. What goes into building a completely new agro brand in India?
It's a very good question, and it took me 2 years to come to the conclusion that should I or shouldn't I launch a brand.
Right.
In India, in the farming sector, brands are a legacy.
Mm-hmm.
Since the Green Revolution started in the 1960s, mm-hmm. there have been companies who have existed, and their brands are like synonymous, like Tata.
Mm-hmm.
So what I believe is a necessity is having a gold standard.
Mm-hmm.
The farmers depend on your brand. So you cannot compromise on the quality.
Mm-hmm.
And we better know what we are offering.
Okay.
You don't have to be a jack of all trades. It's okay mm-hmm. to be a specialist.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely the right quality and having a transparent communication with the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
So there are certain things we share with the farmers. We have something called soil testing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the farmers have a soil health card.
Correct.
We tell them that, look, your soil doesn't need nitrogen. It needs more of potash or mixture of potash and phosphate.
Mm.
We help them improve their yields and their land. And they can see it transparently. So they need to have that dependency.
Okay.
He's just not here to sell his product. Sometimes what we determine after the soil test, they may not need our fertilizers, but so be it.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. And, you know, you're building these, you know, powerful businesses in what if I may call them commodities.
Yes.
What are some of the values you hold dear to your heart as you are rolling out these businesses across the world?
So we say, little orthodox concept, but your word is bond.
Correct.
What we commit, we are bound to deliver.
Okay.
Commercials come second.
Correct.
So we maintain that basic ethic
mm-hmm.
in business world over.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it is some loss to us. Sometimes it's profit, but that's a part of the game. But we never compromise on our basic ethics. What we commit is what we deliver.
Okay. And therefore, an interesting follow-up to that question is that, you know, you must be hiring people all over the world.
Mm.
What do you look for, given your strong values?
I look for proactiveness.
Mm-hmm.
How do you react in an uncomfortable situation?
Mm-hmm.
And I basically gauge an attitude from why to why not.
Okay. So does that mean that you're looking for entrepreneurs within your organization?
Yes.
Okay.
I need people to be self-starters.
But then those self-starters needs a lot of governance and control.
We do. And one thing I do propagate is when I grew up, we were taught think outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe today there is no box.
Okay.
You have to come up with solutions from wherever and whatever.
Right. Very interesting.
So I think we open the horizons.
Okay. So now let's talk about your charitable foundation. You know, what are the kind of work you're doing in your foundation?
The foundation is called AgriFields Charitable Foundation. Mm-hmm. It is incorporated in India.
Mm-hmm.
The foundation is primarily focused towards education.
Okay.
We provide scholarships for the deserving candidates.
Mm-hmm.
We are so far specifically in the agricultural community.
Mm-hmm.
So scholarships for the deserving students and general education and opportunities for the interested candidates. So it's not just that the best get to win. Everyone should have a share of good education.
Mm-hmm.
We are also doing some pilot projects in schools to teach the coming generations about soil, fertilizers, mm-hmm. organics.
Okay.
So sometimes the word fertilizers is quite abused and people don't understand what is what.
Correct.
The new generation should understand and differentiate between organics, fertilizers, pesticides, weedicides.
Mm.
These are concepts which were not known to me when I grew up in my school.
Correct.
We do that. And one very interesting thing which we are organizing, we are having a Zoom interaction, Zoom because of the COVID days, otherwise it could have been physical, between farmers from Vietnam, where we also have a presence, and a segment of farmers in South India.
Mm-hmm.
Ironically, in the Nehru era, the Vietnamese came to India to learn farming techniques from India to improve their yield. Mm-hmm. Today, Vietnam is better than India. So, just a sharing of information.
So, I'd love to know from you, you know, when you get farmers from South India and Vietnam talking to one another on a Zoom call, how are the dynamics? It must be exciting to see both of them, you know, all of them talking, and exciting for them.
It is. It is. Of course, it's through translation.
Yeah, obviously.
Language is the barrier. Yeah. But I could see when we introduced this concept to the farmers in India, they just brightened up.
Amazing.
Especially after knowing that they have performed better than us. They learned it from us and they are grateful and thankful to us.
Mm.
It would be quite an interesting thing to see, and I will share a link with you once it's done.
Mm.
I myself am personally very excited about it.
Amazing. You know, because just before we started our conversation, you were saying that there are a lot of learnings from the platform that we are creating. I mean, I have learned, and you know, it's such a powerful idea that you have come up with, where you get farmers from two different countries to talk to one another. Yes. And that's an opportunity they would never, ever have been able to get.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure, you know, that can be extended to other forms of work across multiple countries.
Yes, you're right.
That's such an amazing, such a powerful, yet such a simple idea. Congratulations for that.
Thank you.
So, you know, now let's talk a little bit about, you know, Africa. You know, you are in Senegal. Africa is now spoken about as the next big market in the world. And I'm excluding this painful process of COVID, but I'm sure things are coming under control. What are your thoughts of the opportunities in Africa?
Personally, a very strong believer.
Mm-hmm.
Few things. It's got a young population.
Mm-hmm.
As we speak, it's going through a population explosion.
Okay.
Certain countries in Africa are going to have doubled the population by 2030.
Wow.
The world's population, as per the UN, is going to touch 8.6 billion by 2030. That's nearly 1 billion more people than we are today.
Today, yeah.
Africa is the only country I see which will cater to that extra need of food grains and other supplies.
I see.
They have huge arable lands, and it is not as well cultivated as Asia is.
Okay.
And I've been surprised myself. You might know, you might not know, in Kenya, the farmers are growing for Tesco in the UK.
Really?
And they send food by 747 jumbos.
Wow.
That 747 is just meant to carry food, organic and regular. So I see a huge potential in Africa. And I'm speaking for my industry, but I'm sure every industry has got a potential because the it has a lot of development still to happen.
Correct. So, you know, Amit, my next question on Africa is that whoever I speak to, and you're doing the same thing to me, is that it's a phenomenally large market. What are some of your challenges of doing business in this over 50 countries in one continent?
I can share my challenge has been building a culture of trust, mm-hmm. primarily due to language barriers.
Okay.
French is a very important language.
Yes.
I wish I had learnt it in school. They didn't offer it at that time. Mm. So, language which leads to a culture of trust that has to be established. Mm. Secondly, I would say the preparedness to lose some. What I mean by that is you don't build an overnight successful business in Africa. Mm. You have to be ready to lose some to have a long-term perspective of business. Mm.
And, you know, doing business in multiple countries in Africa, is it a contiguous kind of a set of countries where what's happening in Kenya will happen in Tanzania, will happen in Gabon, which will happen in, you know, Ghana? You know, I'm just taking multiple countries yeah. across the country. Because South Africa is still well-developed.
South Africa is definitely.
What are your thoughts on doing, you know, countries across multiple, business across multiple countries?
No, so every country has different dynamics. Mm-hmm. So West Africa is different to East Africa.
Correct.
East is more developed, West is developing. Mm. So I would not say there's one common formula which will work across. Mm. But what is common to all African countries that they all need development. Mm. They all need good investors and a good business practice to thrive.
Okay. And for a business like yours, which needs a lot of minerals, is Africa a mineral rich continent?
Very much. Mm-hmm. They've got phosphates, they've got a lot of iron ore, they've got coal is common in many countries, mm-hmm. and there's copper, there's gas. Mm-hmm. Nigeria's got such huge gas reserves. Mm-hmm. They've built some of the world's largest urea plants in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. Tanzania is rich in gems. So I think, yes, Africa is blessed with minerals.
A lot of minerals.
Yeah, they have not been exploited to their fullest potential.
Wonderful. So I'm going to move to the last section of our conversation, which has some questions for you personally.
Sure.
You know, such a young entrepreneur, had a lot of successes with so much more to look forward to. What does success mean to Amit?
Creating something new that outlives me.
Okay.
And I keep motivating myself with a saying, which is, winning is not important, but wanting to win is. Mm-hmm. So that spirit keeps moving forward.
Okay. Okay. And, you know, a segue to that question of success is, you know, you've been doing so many businesses across so many places. What keeps on inspiring you to keep doing more?
My father always used to say, you only rest once. Mm-hmm. There's nothing called rest.
Okay.
So, growing up, it has become a culture that we need to keep doing things. We need to keep trying things and not fail, not fear failures. Mm-hmm. So, I think that's how entrepreneurs think. We don't fear this may work, this may not work. We like it, we do some basic research, and we just proceed.
Fantastic. Getting read all the kind of inspiration, you know, your late father is, I'm sure, you know, smiling down at you, looking at all the great stuff that you're doing. How do you set your own personal and professional goals?
Personal goals and professional goals, I think one thing which is common to both, they have to be measurable.
Okay.
Otherwise, you will never know how much have you rest. Personal, then, are more short-term and specific focused.
Mm. Okay.
It might be health, it might be education, it might be whatever. Mm. Professional, on the other hand, are relatively longer-term, 3 to 5 years. Mm. Yet, I keep them dynamic because in the ever-evolving world that we are today, you have to be ready to adapt to changes.
Okay.
What COVID did to us.
Yeah.
Could not imagine. I mean, you had to be flexible to change your vision.
Okay. So my next question to you is that if you, Amit, were a role model to millions of children who closely followed you and your life choices, what is the one thing you would change in yourself?
It's a tough question, but being less self-critical.
Okay.
And learning to celebrate even the smallest success in life.
You know, that's something nobody else has ever said to me. That's an amazing answer. My next question is that, you know, given all the challenges of COVID, which I know are coming under control, and but we still have at least a year before we can all say it, hopefully everything is back to normal. How are you rethinking your business going forward?
Yes, you're right. COVID has taught us so much. It's taught us resilience. It's taught us to be self-sufficient. In my business, in our industry, as you might have heard, India wants to be self-sufficient in fertilizers.
Correct.
We don't want to be dependent on imports or too reliant on outside. So we've also shifted our focus, and we are putting up plants in India to substitute certain import products. For example, ammonium sulfate is a very good fertilizer and typically imported for the east coast of India. So we are putting up a project in India to manufacture that. We have the technology from our Philippines plant. We'll just use that same. So I think COVID has taught us to be more flexible and be more self-dependent.
Okay.
And that's the direction I'm taking for the company.
Wonderful. Amit, my last question to you, you know, very many people are going to watch our conversation and will hear all the advice and your words that you just mentioned. What would you advise a young entrepreneur who is, you know, now looking forward to start off on their entrepreneurial journey?
Something which I've followed myself, which I would say, don't be scared to follow your path.
Okay.
I've taken a lot of inspiration from a quote of Gandhiji, which says, first, they laugh at you. Then they ignore you. Then they fight you. And then you win.
Wow.
So I think these are the four steps in anyone's journey towards following his path. And if you sustain it, you will achieve your goal.
So the first, as you said, first they fight you.
No, first they laugh
at you.
Then they ignore you.
Okay.
Then they fight you.
Then they fight you.
You win.
And then you win. Wonderful. Amit, that has been such a fascinating and conversation with you. Thank you so much for your time. And I wish you lots of success in everything you're doing.
Thank you, Ashutosh. It's been a pleasure. There's so much of learning through your platform. I look forward to your success.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.